Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there. Thanks for joining the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And this is our Sunday show as opposed to the Friday show. They're going to be somewhat different today, although same general content. And I wanted to just mention as we get started here, just because you've tuned in today does not mean that somehow we become your CPA or your advisor. And that before you do anything or take any action on the content that you hear, we need to make sure you go talk to your existing advisors or people that know your unique facts and circumstances. I'm sure there's things that we'll discuss that they really do, or they really are strategies you may want to consider. Just depends on where you're at in life, or in your investment life, your wealth creation life, retirement wealth life, etc. We cross a wide spectrum of content. And generally speaking, what we do as CPAs, we're not investment salesmen, we're not financial planners in the pure sense of the word. We help you understand what you're signing up for. Whether it's market-based investments that you may bring to us to take a look at, or whether it's real estate private partnership syndications, which is our forte, typically multifamily projects. We're just trying to help you understand, hey, we've looked at the pro forma data. We've looked at the assumptions that are being made as to how the project will develop and operate, and we want to make sure you understand this is what those complicated documents that come with that pro forma data say, and this is what you might expect to happen. And again, it's all based on pro forma. You know, we're not magicians, we're accountants, but we understand how these investments work, specifically the real estate private placement syndications, and you know, we can help you know whether to turn left, turn right, go straight ahead, or back up to hopefully minimize the risk that you're exposing your hard-earned money to. And regardless of what we suggest to you, I'm always going to remind people that no one will look after your money like you will. Don't think there's any magic. I've had clients come to me from assorted planners out there, planning strategists, other accountants, etc., and complaining that, well, you know, they didn't tell me this, they didn't tell me that. Well, you know, I'm going to suggest in most cases you shouldn't be just assuming everything will turn out hunky-dory. You need to be getting updates all along, and if you don't have them provided to you, you need to ask. And it's amazing how fast things can change when interest rates start ticking up and you've got some variable rate debt, as an example. And if you think those pro forma numbers are going to pan out, you know, you're probably going to be in for a rude awakening, a bad outcome. But in any event, again, before you get started, go talk to your existing tax, legal, financial, real estate, etc. advisors, and let's make sure that you heard what you thought you heard and that they apply to your situation. If you don't have those advisors, feel free to connect with us. You can go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And top right, there's two links that are relevant. There's one for forms, which if you'll click that We'll take you to a page that's got four steps to getting into our system. If you'll just do the first one at a minimum, that'll give us enough to then have you schedule a call, which is the link next to it. And we'll be happy to take a few minutes or half an hour or so to figure out, or to help you figure out, and us, whether we can help you sync up with your objectives. And that's why we need the data. We need the data to, one, understand some of your facts and circumstances, or at least enough to talk somewhat cogently with you about it. And then number two, let you understand how we might work with you and help you. Okay, let's pivot to some of the current news. And unfortunately, I did not have a chance to add any articles between Friday and today. So, yeah, but we've still got plenty of articles out there on our companion website for the radio show. It's called BAPlannerShow.com. And if you'll go to the resources link at the top right, you'll see the recent news section. And we've talked about some of these on Friday, but I wanted to bring up just a couple of them here. Tax moves to consider before the 2017 tax cuts expire. And this is a conversation that we have with more than a few of our clients, and or have had with more than a few of our clients, and I suspect we will moving forward. And just so you know, the tax cuts expire, well, they expire or phase out at the end of 2025. So unless they're extended on 1/1/2026, you're going to start seeing, well, some of the rules just flat out revert back to where they were, like the tax brackets, as an example, which that's a big one for the type of strategies that we're employing in an effort to get people to the zero tax bracket by the time they quote retire, which I'm not sure how you define retirement, but we tend to think about it as when you wake up in the morning, you can go do whatever you feel like doing that day. You don't have to go to the office unless that's what makes you happy. And again, it's kind of like Marvin Zindler's sign off back a number of years ago. You may recall the restaurant report that Channel 13 had on Friday nights. And Marvin would always end it by saying, you know, I hope you have a great weekend. Go fishing, go to the park, go golfing, or do whatever makes you happy, or something like that. That was the gist of it. And that's how we feel about retirement. It's not, in most cases, I've got clients that are 70-plus years old that still, quote, go to the office. It may not be an office. I've got one client that's a captain in the sea wayfarer business, and I was just talking to him yesterday, and he was thinking of going back to work, and so that's a little bit different than your classic office cubicle that I hear besmirched on other shows on this station. Look, there's nothing wrong with an office cubicle or a different ship or whatever your cup of tea is, if that's what gives you motivation, if that's what makes you happy. And, you know, I've watched a lot of people retire since I started my practice back in 1985. Yeah. 39 or 38 years ago. It's hard to believe. And I will say without question that the happiest clients that I had in retirement were those that were doing something substantive on a day-to-day basis. I had some that worked with nonprofits. I had others that consulted in their area of expertise. I've had others that went back to work for their former employer. But in all cases, they were in roles that were valued. Their opinions and their work output mattered. And they were seemingly much happier. And again, that may have been my read only, although they more than a few times it was discussed and they confirmed my observations. So when we talk about getting you to retirement, just understand, we're talking about getting you a certain level of wealth in a certain tax bracket, which is zero, nada, is the lowest we can go, obviously. And there is no zero tax bracket. If you go look up the tax brackets online, as many people will do, you know, Google's a wonderful thing, but don't ever forget the little cartoon that I saw at one point that explained, you know, it was the husband and wife sitting at the breakfast table, and the husband says, "Well, you know, honey, I looked up that issue on whatever it was we were discussing. Let's call it a tax rule. Let's call it the tax brackets. I looked up the tax brackets, and I understand what they are now." And the comeback from the wife was, "Well, do you know this is correct, or do you Google know this is correct? Because there's a difference, and there's especially a difference when it comes to the tax code. And it's not so much Google as it is how you might interpret something you see there, and you take a general rule that Google very adeptly provides you, and doesn't explain the 19 different exceptions of which you may be number three. And so it's important that you understand that. And so we will look at income streams. Yeah, we're looking to change taxable income by the time you get to retirement into cash flow income streams. And there's a difference. Cash flow are streams like Roth distributions, or cash value life insurance, where you can take amounts of money out and you don't pay tax on them. And they might not even get reported. If you've got an index universal life policy, as an example, you can take loans out if they're structured correctly, and they're not even reported on a 1099. And obviously they're not taxable unless you or your insurance advisor didn't structure the distributions correctly, in which case they may all be taxable, even going backward retroactively. So it's very important that you work with people that understand not just the insurance policy variables, but how does this comport to the tax rules, tax laws. In any event, let's do this. I see that we're coming up on the first break. Let's go ahead and take our break, and we'll be back momentarily, and we'll talk about some of these 2007, I'm sorry, the expiration of some of the 2017 provisions. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. Keep it. Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before the break, we had introduced the concept of some of the 2017 tax cuts that were going to expire as we get towards 1/1/2026, or make that 12/31. 2026. I'm sorry, 12/1 or 1/1/2017. In any event, the tax brackets were one item that I just mentioned briefly, and I guess I wanted to focus on that for a moment. The income tax brackets will revert back to pre-2017 levels at the end of 2025. The impact will be with respect to most taxpayers. However, people near retirement, which is the large majority of folks that we're working with, and I say near retirement, let's just say from 55 on up. Trust me, that you 55-year-olds are nearer than you think. It's amazing how fast that last part goes. Speaking of someone that's 63 years old, and it's crazy to think, you know, where did life go, you know, and especially the last, 10 or 15 years. But in any event, if you're in that position, you know, your biggest tax bump will occur, go from 37% back to the 39.6%. Percent level, and that's just the income tax. That doesn't count the net investment income tax, the quote Obamacare tax piece, 3.8%, that actually will get you up into the low 40s. But if you're in this position, as again many of our clients are, we are focused on getting you converted over to a Roth on any pre-tax retirement funds that you still have available, almost without regard to your age. And I know a lot of financial planners are going to say, well, you know, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does if you have heirs that you love. If you don't, well, then okay. And I mean, you don't have them or you don't love them. If you do have them, don't worry about converting. But if you're willing to soak up the tax at a lower rate than they're likely going to have if you pass, you know, somewhere before, let's just call it 2029, 2030. That's when there will have to be action taken by Congress. Doesn't matter whether they want to or not. It's only math. It's just math. And, you know, the remaining piece of our federal budget that is currently still discretionary. We still have the choice of whether to spend it because it's not already going to another category in the federal budget. It will be soaked up to where at that point it'll be very difficult to sell additional treasury bonds, T-bills, because there will be no assurance that we can pay 100% of the annual debt, which is nearly $1 trillion. It's sitting right at $1 trillion a year now. And depending on what you think interest rates are going to do, are they still going to go up some, which I'm in that camp, or are they going to start going back down, which I think that's wishful thinking, but it could happen. Anybody that thinks they know what the Fed's going to do, I don't think the Fed themselves knows what they're going to do. In fact, I know they don't. But I don't think they're done having to adjust the Fed funds rate, which in turn will affect most other interest rate instruments, interest rate related instruments. And just this past Friday's jobs report, I think it was 360,000 quote new end quote jobs, wink wink. You know, that throws more fuel on the inflationary trends to where it probably ties the Fed's hands with regard to needing some future upward rate movements, but I guess that'll remain to be seen. But in any event, if you wait past 112026 to do your Roth conversions or whatever piece you haven't finished, because you don't have to convert 100% of your pre-tax funds to Roth all in the same year. You could split it up, which is what we suggest. You know, split it between I don't know, three or four, maybe five more years, depending on what you see happening with regard to the tax rules and tax laws. But let's just assume Congress doesn't do anything until, well, let's assume they don't do anything. As we get out to 12/31/2015, the reset becomes automatic. And I have heard recently that, you know, there is some the Congress has some stomach to address another possible tax act, or maybe it was the Biden administration. One of those two camps was saying how that they thought they could get a new tax bill done. I don't know. I mean, it's always interesting what anytime the Congress is in session, I think you kind of hold your breath that they don't attack something that affects you as a small business owner or as an investor. Those are two categories that Congress seemingly thinks have an unlimited amount of money when it comes to more taxes. And it's crazy how that, as a general rule, it seems like, and I'm gonna say, forget about the label as to the R and the D. It just seems like legislatures in general think small business people and investors have an inordinate amount of money that they could still pay taxes with. And I don't know where that stems from. I think the anomalies, the stories that are in the media, you know, the whole YouTube phenomenon, you know, it seems like everybody that has a way of making a lot of money is trying to peddle that on YouTube, and it's increasingly difficult to avoid seeing, you know, the get-rich-quick schemes when you tune into those types of mediums. And there is some good content on those mediums. I don't mean to diminish that, but I tell you, I see a lot of bad information, and especially when it comes to real estate and real estate syndications. And all I'll suggest to you is make sure you've got someone like us that's helping you assess the metrics, the math metrics. Again, it's just math, and the reasonableness of the assumption set is something that most lay people haven't a clue. They don't know what the average rents are in a given market, much less what the average rental growth rate is, much less what the absorption for that market is. These are things that matter. And, you know, when you look at the way so many of the syndicators these days are charging just ginormous fees for people to participate in these transactions, you really have to understand that just because there's a section in the webinar, be in every webinar that you tune into, why we like the deal. That's the management team that's going to give you their take on all the good positive things, the location, the submarkets, absorption rate. They'll go down the list, and those are no doubt something you can confirm or not, but you know the other one you can confirm, and this is probably more telling, is how much of the fees that they're charging to get into this deal. And if those are high, well, then I'm going to tell you that should have been number one on their list as to why, quote, we like this deal, unquote, or end quote. And you got to avoid the front end loading that's going on where they're getting their fees on the front end. Day zero is what I call it, where when they're walking out of closing, they've got on a $40, $50 million transaction, they've got $1 million to $2 million in fees going to their bank account day zero. That's insanity. And I'm suggesting to you that there's no level of fee that's not correct, in the sense that if it's timed right and if they get those fees after they've gotten your money back, great, they deserve those fees. But unfortunately, it's the reverse most of the time. And just take a look around. You can look at deals that have gone under recently. Houston, Austin, San Antonio, they're out there. Go to the realdeal.com website or go to the Wall Street Journal. There's been recent articles in both about, novice. I think the search term that might be appropriate is novice apartment investors, and you'll pull up some articles that'll scare the bejeebers out of you. And yet, to a certain extent, you should have seen it coming if you had the ability to understand the due diligence or lack of due diligence that was done when it came to the debt structure, when it came to the rental growth rate assumptions. There were signs that something wasn't quite right. And again, I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just observing. And I look at every one of these transactions and can see the weakness. Of course, it's easier looking back, but some of these transactions we actually were consulted about, and to my knowledge, we didn't have any clients move forward with the transactions that we helped them understand what they were potentially signing up for. They got it, and we will continue to make that our focus. As I suggest all the time, you know, everybody's an adult here. If you feel like that I'm wrong, that's fine. You'll get the credit, you'll get the blame when you move forward, because again, we don't have the crystal ball, but we know how to analyze the math, and it helps. But anyway, so if you've still got pre-tax IRAs or pre-tax 401 accounts, consider converting to Roth. And depending on what you've got those funds invested in, if you're in private company investments like our typical client comes to us when they have their money in UBS, Schwab, Vanguard, Fidelity, etc., and we assist them in rolling those funds over to a self-directed model, typically a self-directed 401, if they qualify. And so at that moment, now they're invested in private companies, and they get a significant discount to the value that they would have paid tax on to do the Roth conversion had they done it while it was at any one of the aforementioned custodians. And why is that? Because when your money's invested in Apple or GM or Ford or whoever, you know, these are name brand market tradable securities where you can literally log into your account or call your broker and within minutes trade or market, you know, liquidate those investments to get your money back. And you get the amount of money that it's selling for today. That is the fair market value. And the fair market value is what we pay tax on to convert to Roth. Whether it's sitting in Fidelity, UBS, Vanguard, Ameriprise, you know, et cetera. There's obviously many, many custodians out there. And so if you've got $500,000, let's make the math easy. If you've got $500,000 sitting in your account, and you're going to do all of it, which you don't have to do, but let's assume you do $100,000 of it. And so if that adding that $100,000 to your current year income that you already have, wages, interest, dividends, partnership income, etc., that's going to get you into a higher bracket. Let's assume it nudges you up to the average or effective tax bracket of 30%, just as an example. Could be higher, could be lower. That means you would stroke a check to the IRS for $30,000 to move that $100,000 over to a Roth 401, a Roth IRA, whatever type of plan or trust you're set up with. Now, if you wait until you get your money out of those vehicles, or maybe if it's in an IRA, you can go ahead and self-direct the funds into some private company investments, i.e. Private real estate partnerships that are buying apartments. Well, now we've got a totally different ball game and totally different set of valuation considerations. There is no market. There is no broker for you to ring up or account to log into that's going to tell you what the fair market value is. And by the way, for you folks that are already in private partnership syndications, a broker opinion of value is not what we're talking about. A broker opinion of value typically isn't worth the paper it's written on when it comes to fair market value for purposes of Roth conversion or assorted other strategies where you're basing a tax bill on fair, again, market value is the operative word. And the fair market value is the value at which a willing buyer will pay a willing seller, neither of whom are under any compulsion to buy, that are aware of all facts and circumstances. Do you think that fits the scenario of a broker opinion of value? Not a chance. And of course, the lead partner, the sponsor, the syndicator that sends that value out to their partners and say, well, you know, here's this year's fair market value for all you folks that are looking to report that to your custodian because they've got to report that to the IRS. You are making a bad mistake to set the trend on your annual filings that if you invested $100,000 in a partnership, that's the fair market value. And that, in most cases, is significantly high. And so then when you come along in a year where you want to do a Roth conversion and you've got that history out there, you may have some explaining to do, quote unquote, when if or when you get scrutinized on that conversion. And you know, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And if you've dropped down a bit from what you originally invested in terms of the fair market value, you could have you know, you might be forced to explain how you got there. Now, that said, you might also tie it to the book value, which that's not the metric that you're supposed to tie it to, but of those of you that are already in these investments know, you know, the depreciation factor and the first year write-offs could drop your $100,000 capital account balance down to $3,000, or maybe negative by $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. Just depends, you know, on how much cost segregation and bonus depreciation gets claimed. Which, by the way, bonus depreciation is another item that's affected by these 2025 expirations. That rule started this year, where it starts to phase out from 100% down to 80% is the current year, 2023. And by the time you get to 2026, you will have gone down back to zero, if it doesn't get extended. And again, there has been talk in Congress of that happening. But anyway, my point back to the Roth quickly, so I can move on to a couple other of the issues that are going to change. It's much less expensive to convert to Roth once you've embraced the concept of these real estate private syndication investments. And, you know, when you think about, it's not just a lower tax bill, it's also some downside protection, in that the cost you've got in the investment net now is much less. And when you convert over to Roth, once it's in a private company investment, you've got assorted discounts, like lack of marketability, lack of majority control. Those are collectively, I don't know, those are probably the two highest discounts. And then you've also got things like you're looking to a small team to manage the investment, versus on marketable securities, you've got teams of teams running the show. And then there's a total of 20 to 25 risk factors that will be identified in every private placement memorandum. They're mandatory according to the SEC Rule 5. And so it's a different world, and it's a major opportunity for people that want to get over to Roth. And it kills so many birds with one stone. It's a reduction in your current year tax. It may be a reduction in your heirs' tax if you pass away while you still have the investment. And then it's a reduction in their tax for a while. And so, you know, it's pretty... it's a spectacular way to plan for retirement at the current tax brackets, which are on sale. Think about them as being on sale from what they're going to have to be, just based on the math, not based on whether you're progressive or you're conservative or you're a member of the Freedom Caucus or you're a member of the Green Caucus or whatever. Doesn't matter. They're all going to confront the math at some point in time. And if you think that the modern monetary policy folks may get their policy placed into effect at some point where they believe we can just spend, we can print, spend. As long as we spend it right, we put it in the hands of people actually spending it, it all comes down, it all offsets, and it all comes down to no inflation, etc. Well, I haven't heard much out of that modern monetary policy crowd as of late, and I suspect it's because they realize, you know, it's kind of what we did, right, since the COVID years when we printed and spent on an extraordinary basis. And no, it's led to inflation, big-time inflation, and it's not going back for a while. Let's do this. We went past our break a few minutes. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll be back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross and the tax changes coming up 3 years out here.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstone can grindstone.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final section or the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. So let's move on past the income tax bracket changes that are coming. Let's talk about estate taxes for a moment. And the current rules have exclusions or exemptions or credit levels that most people just, I mean, most normal people, I should say, are just putting estate planning out of their memory bank. I mean, it's like, well, you know, we can exclude if we're married. We understand we've got up to, it's almost $26 million now with the indexing that's occurred. It's 25.84 to be exact. And individuals with nearly $13 million, the actual number is 12.92, can transfer those amounts to beneficiaries without triggering the federal estate taxes. That's a lot, okay? And again, those came into being with the 2017 Tax Act. Prior to that, the numbers were roughly half. The taxable estate worth more than approximately $7 million for an individual is going to be taxable. $13 million for a couple will be taxable if you don't plan ahead and do some conveyances to reduce your potential estate level. And if you're thinking, well, what's a little bit of estate tax? Well, the range is from 18% to 40%. So it's really a little bit more, significantly more than just a little bit of tax. But in any event, the exemption still will allow many people to escape the estate tax. But, if you're at least are aware, if you win the lottery, then you'll know, okay, I need to take some planning action to avoid giving even more of that to the government. So in any event, keep that in mind. Let's see, after estate tax, the gift tax will be similarly changed. And let's see. Well, I was trying to think if that's actually going to go down. I think it does for certain issues. Like, for instance, there was an ability under the 2017 tax law to where you could, there's a special break for 529 plans, making contributions to those, where you could front load 5 years worth of cash gifts up to $85,000 for per beneficiary for individuals, and up to 170 that couples could make. That's in a single contribution. And so, you know, that's still available, but it's going to be going away. So if you've got kids, grandkids, as the case may be, you may want to give that some consideration. That's a lot of money. I mean, the issue there is there's other ways of providing for a college education. By the way, the Roth IRA is a wonderful tool for doing that, or Roth 401. You know, if you've got kids that are self-employed, they could be making contributions into a Roth 401, although arguably maybe not much more than they would be able to do with a Roth IRA without being self-employed. So in any event, charitable giving, the tax law 2017 increased the annual deduction limit for cash contributions to public charities to 60% of the AGI, or the adjusted gross income, up from 50%. The limit's going to go back to 50%, 112026. So I would say those are the major issues that are forthcoming. And I'm going to tell you, to me, the single biggest one are those tax brackets. And those brackets are still much less than what they're going to be in 2029 or 2030. And just so you know, it's not just Nathan Ross or the Be a Planner show that's warning you about the higher tax brackets that are imminent. The Congressional Budget Office, you know, the referee that calls the balls and strikes for Congress on every proposed or legislation that passes as to whether it's going to affect the deficit. Is it going to pay for itself? In other words, does it have enough papers, quote unquote, in it? That's how Congress refers to it. Or is it going to cause our deficit to go up? And if so, by how much? And, you know, the CBO themselves back in 2009 were tasked with providing Congress a report on how to solve the deficit. The deficit was already at a level that they thought was horrific. I don't know. I wish my sidekick, Mr. Dan DuBose, was on the show today so he could recollect. He can remember back 2009 better than I can, but I'm going to say the deficit at that point, the cumulative deficit, not the real deficit, the one that we cop to, that we put on the government's balance sheet, was probably in the, I don't know, $8 or $9 trillion range, because it's gone up dramatically since then. And so even at that level, CBO projected all the tax brackets needed to go up by 150% of where they currently were. So that means the 10% bracket would need to go to 25%. The 25% bracket at that time would need to go to 63%, I believe was the number. And then the 39.8% bracket would need to go to, I believe it was 88%. Think about those numbers. And then tell me if you can't get excited. If you've got pre-tax money still in your retirement account, tell me you can't get excited about an opportunity to convert probably about half, at a factor of 50% off the gross investment amount at these lower rates, which are easily 50% under where they're headed, or close. And so, again, that was back when we only had the $8 or $9 trillion level of deficit. Now we're sitting at 33, and the current thought is that it's going to take a 200% increase to get the deficit under control, or do more than just Band-Aid it. So, again, to me, that's the single biggest issue. I guess you could say that bonus depreciation is material. It is definitely material for our clients that are investing in apartment buildings in these partnerships, because, you know, you could literally invest $100,000 and theoretically have a first-year loss of $105,000 if you could use it. And that's the big fallacy, the way most syndicators show their pro formas. They show these big losses, but you have to understand, until you have passive income, you don't get to deduct those losses. So they'll help you when you sell if you have a gain, or they'll help you when you sell perhaps another piece of real estate that's passive on your return and there's a gain. So it's not like they're lost, but they are deferred. Okay, I guess that's probably the highlights of those rule changes. It'll be here before you know it. 2029 and 30 will be here before you know it. And just remember, it's just the math. No politics involved. And it's dire. I can't downplay enough how dire the situation is. You don't turn a $33 trillion deficit around overnight. Not even close. And, you know, there's only so many rich people in the world, and you know, it's got to hit the bulk of the tax revenue increase will have to come from the non giga wealthy. It's going to come from the middle class. So in any event, let's see what else news wise I'll just hit the highlight, maybe the title. Tax-free way to rent out your home. The Augusta rule there's a small change in that rule. I can't remember what it was, but I've got the article linked there, and you can go take a read there. And by the way, sometimes you do need an account, a paid account, to read these articles. I've got asterisks on the ones that require a paid account, but if you haven't already got your free articles off, say, the Wall Street Journal, you get 10, I think, free, so you still might be able to read one or two. And then beyond that, I can share links with you. I think I get a certain number on each article. Just let me know. Shoot me a text, 713-581-0195. Okay, we'll be back next Friday, or this Friday, 11 a.m. right here on KSEB. We hope you can tune in. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.